Whether you're a Class 5 rafter or just looking for a couple of laughs, these two have you covered. Welcome to Aaron and Zach's Better Than Mediocre Rafting Show.
Well, hi, and welcome to Aaron and Zach's Mediocre Rafting Show. Today's show is so mediocre that it might just be me, which would be incredibly mediocre. Hopefully Steve and or Aaron joins me. This is a show we try to do every Friday at 2 o'clock where we talk about videos and share thoughts. And it's meant to be a fun Friday thing. It's not meant to be like true education. It's supposed to be fun for us, fun for you. Thank you all for supporting and joining. If you're a member, thank you for being a member and supporting us. If you're not a member, thank you for watching. If you're listening to this as a podcast, we have this as a podcast. Awesome. You maybe shouldn't, because this is really meant as a video show, but I don't know, maybe you're driving and you just want to hear us banter, which might just be me bantering by myself today. So welcome to the show. And sort of the topic of today's show is swimming and swimmers and watching some video about swimming. So with that, I'm going to just get started with some videos, and hopefully Steve and or Aaron can join us. This is one that I found from a Lohe Dam, and this is in China, and it's a dragon boat, and they're trying to paddle up a Lohe Dam. And so this is sort of a warm-up video to just see how bad things can get. I'm pretty sure, I wonder if they're in PFDs. And by the way, anybody, if you're watching the show today, I'm maybe by myself. If you comment, it helps me just feel like I'm not talking to computer. So please comment if you want, even if it's just boring conversation, or it could be amazing, very smart, intuitive thing. So it flips. As you would imagine, there's people swimming. I don't know what if that's like 20 people. And this just really demonstrated to me how dangerous a Lohe Dam is. It just really sucks you and holds you. And I think I was watching this earlier. You can see some people actively swimming away from the dam, and it looks like they're going to make it. Some are, some aren't. But it's just this. It's not just one person stuck in the dam. Seeing this many people stuck makes you realize how hard it is to get out. This other boat comes to help save them, to provide rescue for them. And as we commonly find in a rescue, the rescuers also become victims. This is terrifying to watch. And they're going to end up going in too. And like at this point, I think they just have paddles. I mean, they really have no way of escape. And I'm wondering if this happened. I mean, I wish I had more background. If the water's higher than normal, maybe a low water, this isn't a big deal, but a high water, it's really bad. I have no idea. This should be a known hazard, but they're going to go. And I think, and there's still people, you can see people getting restroked in the hole. I think your options here, so some people dive out. That was smart. Like they dove out and they got past the boil line. It was like, well, most, and some people are fighting to get past the boil line. But if it's cold water, if you're not strong, you're just not going to swim out of there. And I remember reading this, I think like 19 people died. It's really sad. So it's nice to know that some people made it out. But even that one guy in the foreground, he has to keep fighting. The water's still pulling him back in. So you have to swim. I wonder if he makes it. You have to just keep going to get past the boil line here. And there's probably no saltwater rescue unit to come out, the creature craft, and pull all of them out. The options would be the sides, like don't go down the sides. Or people say, like, ball up like a ball and go deep. I'm not sure how well that would work here. Oh, here, I didn't watch it this far. Here it is from the side. So people diving off. I think that was the way to go. Just dive and just give it everything you have to get away. And then they're making it to the side. Maybe you can grab the concrete and pull yourself down. Oh man, here comes another boat. I wonder if they get sucked in too. Oh, it looks like there's a rescue boat. And there's some people hanging out on a bunch of trash. That's pretty smart, actually, because you can hang out there for a while. So that's a lot of swimmers. And I want to move on. I got a few more videos to share. Andrew sent us this one today. Again, the topic is swimming, of a flip at rubber on the middle fork of the salmon. This just got posted today. Hold on, let there you go. So I think a lot about this, and the reason the topic today was swimmers was because of the video we watched from Fowler's Rock a few weeks ago. And I think a lot about downstream containment, having swimmers not get ahead of the boat. So I worry, like right now in my back of my head, is that there's three people in this boat. If this first boat flips, those three people could just go downstream. There's nobody to save them. There's no downstream safety. The boat number two is their safety. So let's hope they go through it. Before we go, maybe there's some comments. Here we go. We had a patch and a 4-inch cut fail at boundary last week. Used turd and duct tape and held through. Yeah, hey, I saw, Andrew, I saw a patch and a 4-inch cut fail at boundary. That sucks. Yeah, Terry does the key. Was it the boat that flipped, Andrew? Because I saw there's something on that boat that actually flipped. Yep. Yeah, I mean, going back to the rescue of the creature craft. Yeah, I always joke about creature crafts. If they're already a creature craft on scene, pumped up and ready to go, but if it's at the firehouse 20 minutes away, if you have to pump it up, drive it there, launch it, and you can only save one or two people. If that. So I think that the response time for creature crafts, if it's already ready to go and it can like go in, pull somebody out, go in, pull somebody out, awesome. But if it's not ready to deploy, it takes a long time to get it from the where it's located into the river with a qualified operator inside. Like not everybody's just sitting at the side of a lowhead dam who's a qualified rescuer ready to make a save. You have to pull somebody, they're probably watching them be at home, get them to the spot, the whole thing. Anyway. So this is my thinking right now when I'm setting up safety. These three people, if they flip, which is possible in this rapid at this flow, where is their safety? What happens to them if they swim? Hopefully, these are the most active people. If they do swim, they can self-rescue. And hopefully, boat number two is pretty close to help them. And now they're ideally looking back at boat number two. I can see them looking back and saying, "Hey, how's boat number two doing?" And as they look back, somewhere they see a flip here. So I noticed, Andrew, in your comments, you said you wished your boat spacing was closer because they swam for 2 minutes. I think I'm actually okay with what you did here. Like 2 minutes is not a big deal here specifically, but I think what I worry is if you had flipped, what was their response time to you? That's my bigger worry. Like you're able to slow down here, let them catch up. You have time to get ready. I think you're okay. But my bigger concern was if you had flipped, could that a boat helped you? And I see a pins and clips, so the odds of you flipping are way lower. But you know, what if? What if? So swimmers, they know to come to the boat. They're swimming to the boat. They're assisting in self-rescue. That's great. Looks like he's pulling her in by her arm, which is the preferred technique. But look, I would pull by the PFD, but it works. And then, so somebody in that boat, which is nice. When you have the first boat gets through, let's go back. When the first boat gets through, having people in the boat, one, they can help pull people in. Like if, Andrew, if you're rowing, it's hard to pull people in. So having somebody to pull people in is great. And then somebody else jumped on the other boat immediately and went to flip it, which is sweet. That boat needs to come back over. And getting it to shore here would be not impossible, but tough. I guess that's the patch we just saw right there, that white thing. Going back, when I watched this earlier, I was wondering, is that the patch, that white thing on the side that you guys did? So it looks like they have oarlock, so probably why they make that makes sense to me. That's it. Two people can get it. I mean, That's how it's done. Two people can get a medium-sized oar boat over pretty quick in the current. And then we want to get them on the water. Couple notes about helmets. I notice almost everybody's wearing helmets. The two people on the right here are wearing climbing helmets, which are not, I would say, appropriate for whitewater. They're not designed for whitewater. They're better than nothing, but I'd rather see them in a whitewater helmet. And then the gentleman who jumped on and did the flip did not have a helmet, which is a choice. You don't have to have a helmet. It's kind of water. I don't think you have to. But it stopped. I noticed it when they were going in. There was one helmet, one non-helmet. So, I mean, I think a lot of people say you have to wear helmets. I think, especially on a private trip, it's a personal choice. And again, those climbing helmets are better than nothing, but it'd be nice to get them in whitewater helmets. Sweet. So that's flip it rubber. I want to watch this other thing here. Let's pull this up. This is in Cataract Canyon. Let's get this comments. I started doing kayak support trips, which I now have mixed feelings about. I had two swimmers on a recent trip. Any words of wisdom for rescue with raft support? Any words of wisdom for rescue with raft support for kayak support trips? Any words of wisdom for rescue with raft support? I'm not sure what you're asking here, Heidi. Any words of wisdom for rescue with raft support? Are the rafters rescuing the kayakers or the kayakers rescuing the rafters? I think having both rafts and kayaks, I mean, some people want a raft, some people want a kayak. Awesome. And, oh, I see. I think I understand. You're rafting in support of kayakers who are kayaking. Yeah, I mean, it depends if they're good. It's the same thing. Like if they're good kayakers, they're a benefit to the trip and they can rescue you. If they're not kayakers, you're probably rescuing them, assuming that you're good. So it's not about rafts or kayakers. It's about whether people are assets or liabilities. So, you know, if you're in a raft and you're probably not going to flip and you're agile and strong and trained, you're an asset. Like if these kayakers are swimming, they're a liability. And so I think if you look at any trip, most trips, there's some trips where everybody's an asset. Everybody's fully comfortable. They can do everything great. There's some trips where everybody's a liability. And if anything goes wrong, there's not really a good safety net there. And there's some trips, which is most trips, where some people are assets, some people are liabilities, and the people that are assets are helping the liabilities all the time. I don't really want to go with kayakers who are swimming all the time. It's a pain. Like kayakers that swim, it's a lot of work. So to me, that sounds like work, not fun. My wisdom is for rescuing kayakers is, I don't know. Hopefully they're good kayakers. And if they're not, you're choosing to be their rescue squirrel. Hopefully you know that you've made that choice to be their rescuer. It also pins eclipses. Like, okay, all right, cool. All right, that makes sense. I was trying to pretend like that one had oar locks just to be funny. But yeah, narrow 13 at Velvet of 4 feet, that's tough duty. That is tough duty. Yeah, raptors rescuing kayakers. It goes both ways. I've been raptors and kayakers that swim, we've rescued them. I've been kayakers and we rescued the rafting people. And I've been the kayaker who's been rescued by raptors, and I've been the raptor who's been rescued by kayakers. So everybody rescues each other. It's not raptors versus kayakers, it's assets versus liabilities. Who's useful, who's trained, who's agile, who's not. Three of the four pins eclipse. The first two boats had the younger. Yep, smart, super smart. Put the younger, more physically fit people in the front. Yep, smart, super smart. Yep, I like that. How to determine liability for a kayak support trip? Liability. I don't know what you mean by liability. Liability. Oh, to know if. How do you explain this better? You mean liability, like if you're liable for their safety, like legally? Or if, are you asking, how do you determine if somebody who's a kayaker is a liability? I don't really understand your question here. Okay, we'll get back to that. So this is Cataract Canyon, and it's really big water there right now. Like, I don't know what the flow is, but massive. And this is the beginning of this video. You can see these are These are also big boats. The commercial companies have these like 20 something foot long boats with extra tubes. These might be called J rigs. I'm not sure what they're called. There's all kinds of fancy terms. Well, there's a guide with a motor and like 8 or 10 people with overnight gear. Looks fun to me. Like this would be a cool job. And they're just having fun. You know, you can see there's multiple boats. I would really be nervous if one of these big boats flipped, for sure. Like who would, you know, like it probably wouldn't flip, but that is a big wave. It can maybe flip one. And then it's nice to know that these aren't one boat trips. And what happens, I think, and I don't have the whole story here, is that there's another one of them. There's a private boater group that flips. And this ore boat decides to go to the rescue. So I'm just scanning ahead. And so they're downstream. This is super smart. They know there's people upstream. They're facing upstream, motoring upstream, slowing down and letting the problem come to them. And this is just good downstream containment. Like, let's stay downstream of this. Let's not let them pass us by. What really worries me, and I mentioned this earlier, I keep mentioning it, is the person who gets past the lead boat. I'm just so concerned about it. Maybe too concerned. But it's something that, like, once the swimmer passes the boat, that's, to me, a threat to life. Because if they can't swim, they get tired, they're just gone, right? And people do get tired, especially with cold water. So I want to have a downstream safety boat to catch the swimmers. I don't really, for me right now, time in the water is a concern. Like, I don't want them in the water forever, but I want to be really conservative and make sure I get the swimmers and then nobody passes me. So they're motoring upstream, letting the situation come down to them. It looks like a flipped raft and one person's in the water near the raft. Ideally, that person is actively participating in their own rescue, swimming towards an upside down raft. And that team is working together to get everybody out of the water. This, and I'm guessing that this motorboat is a commercial boat and the upside down boat is a private boat. That's just a guess. And so this motorboat, its first priority is take care of yourself. Like, make sure this boat gets down through safely. Let's take care of the people in the boat. Let's not create another problem. And then when we're good, let's continue to be their downstream safety. So I think this is all super smart. And so there's a swimmer in the water, and this is the hard part. So they're in an eddy right now. They're slowing down. The hard part for me, for everybody, is knowing when to leave the eddy. It takes a lot of practice and timing. And if you don't have practice, you're going to always be late. Like, this boat should already be on the water right now. Right? This person is going to come by screaming fast, be downstream of the boat. So once a person to me is downstream of the boat, that's bad. Right? When you have to chase them down, actually they may make it to them. When you have to chase them down, that's a scary situation. So I think they did a pretty good job. The swimmer should be at this point helping to get to the boat. Ideally, there's something to grab onto. This person should be active in their own rescue. They need to do something to get towards the boat, swimming to the boat, grabbing something here. There he goes. He's swimming to the boat. It's too bad there's nothing to grab, but not a big deal. Again, grabbing him by the arm. You want to. Now, that was the person driving the boat, so he needs to get back to the motor. So that's good. He said, hey, grab onto the thing. I need to get back to running this boat so we don't have a bigger problem. And they're pulling this person in. It shouldn't be this hard to get him in, but it looks like it is. I'm also glad you see that throw bag right there. There's one of those fancy throw bags from Soul Gear. I'm glad that there wasn't a throw bag thrown here, by the way. Like, that somebody, you know, when the swimmer was out in the water, they didn't throw a rope to him. They went and got him. That's what you're supposed to do. Like, you have a boat. We don't need to deploy ropes here. Ropes could just make this situation way worse. So they got that swimmer in. And here comes the upside down boat. And so I think the goal here for me would be, how do I get this boat to the shore? How do I assist these people and just get them out of the current? And on water this big, it's hard to get a boat to shore. Here they go. This is two people trying to reef it. Two big people can a lot of times flip a 16 foot boat that's not super heavy. So they're struggling, man. They're close. Either their technique isn't perfect or they're just not, they don't have the mass or that boat is really heavy. It looks like, I think I see an umbrella, you know, those little canopy umbrella things for the shade. That might be catching water too. Like that might be making it more difficult. So anyway, there are people on the boat are just kind of chilling, it looks like. And now they're watching the reflip. People seem to be in good spirits. Steve.
Hey, Zach.
I'm watching a video right now. I just saw you joined.
Sorry.
It's okay. Hey, you have, I mean, I do this alone. At? We're watching Cataract Canyon flip footage. And you came at the right time because there's something I want to share with you here in a second. Of them pulling a swimmer in and this gear boat, that's a commercial, let's say commercial like motor boat, just pulled a swimmer in. And now they're trying to get this boat to shore. Those guys are struggling flipping this boat back over. Oof. I just sort of think in this kind, this is Cataract Canyon, I don't know, super high water, that, man, man, these boats, it's gonna be hard to flip this boat back over.
Is it a private gear boat?
That's what it looks like. Like I don't know for sure, but. And here, it's been a pretty good rescue so far. And this motorboat's now, it looks like bulldozing them ashore. Just pushing them to shore so they can deal with this on shore. And one swimmer on the gearboat is on the motorboat right now.
Without shoes on, I think.
Maybe.
I saw somebody out there without shoes on. I couldn't tell. Yeah.
So this is, those guys look happy. They're getting sick. I just watched a video where somebody's wearing a climbing helmet rafting, right? And so that's that green helmet that guy on is a climbing helmet. Not necessarily appropriate for rafting. Not the worst, but better than nothing.
This is a commercial motor rig?
I'm pretty sure it is, yeah. They look like commercial.
Yeah. It's probably a relief to see that boat down at the bottom of the rapid.
Well, I mean, imagine if that boat wasn't there. Like if the commercial groups weren't there.
Like trying to swim that thing into shore.
When they launched this trip, were they, I don't know if they have friends. I don't know where their friends are. But when they launched this trip, were they planning on being rescued by commercial groups if they had a problem? Or were they self-contained?
Is that a one-boat trip?
I don't know, but the boat spacing is pretty bad because I don't see their friends.
Right.
Somebody's putting their rescue harness on for some reason. I'm not sure what's going on here. The person with the video is doing a rescue harness. But the theme of today's episode is swimmers and how we handle swimmers. There's somebody without a wetsuit or shoes, which I'm not sure I'd recommend that. I wonder why only one person doesn't have a wetsuit.
Yeah.
I'm thinking if they got shoes, but they got dropped off.
They do look like they fit the rest of the commercial guests.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not going to get to see it flip back over?
I don't think so.
They just pushed them to shore and left them?
That's what you do, right? So they pushed them to shore.
Oh, they went back to...
And then right. I feel like they had a swimmer, and I think there's their friends right there showing up.
Yeah,
you see that way in the foreground.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe it's a two boat trip, which at this level, that spacing, like if those commercial, you missed this, but the motorboat picked up a swimmer, who I think is still on that. On the commercial boat. So I'm not sure what the plan is for that swimmer to get back to the boat. Maybe they got him back. That guy, I think that guy on the right, that guy with the blue helmet is the one they pulled in. So they have to figure out how to get that person. No, that's, I think that's a guide on the trip or a swamper or something.
This is as close to a motorboat as I've ever been.
Okay. But what I really want to show you, what I'm really sad to talk to you about, is this video that Aaron and I talked about last week. That's where I want to get to. Let's get some comments really quick.
Fowler's Rock.
Yeah, let's get that. I want to get to a couple of questions. What, Heidi was going out with some kayakers and she had to save him, I guess. What questions can I reasonably ask to determine experience level before accepting kayakers on a trip? Are you experienced?
When was the last time you did this? When you last time you were in your boat?
Yeah, that's I mean, when people want to kayak my trips all the time, I'm like, they tell me all this stuff. I'm like, awesome. When's the last time you went kayaking? How difficult was it? How many times did you kayak in the last 6 months?
Yeah.
Where did you go kayaking? Yeah, just recent experience, but also overall experience.
Recent experience more than overall experience, I would think.
I think it's both. I mean, if somebody just started kayaking 6 months ago and they kayaked class 3 for the first time last week, it'd be a little concerning. But a little bit of both. They have a swimmer got the top of shoots, had a rough swim that we were in the main current, got in front quickly. Yep. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this flip. Which flip, Corey? Starting at 6 minutes. I'm not sure what you're talking about, Corey. Okay. So, Fowler. So, I talked about this one last week, and we had a big debate. And I need to get your thoughts and see what you think. So, it looks like this is what I know. There's an oar boat in the front with one person in it, an oar boat and a passenger. There's
the
this
blue
paddle
boat that I can see in the downstream in this picture.
Yeah, that's their boat. There's this boat, which is I'm pretty sure it's a private bunch of private boaters. Some of them seem like they know what they're doing. Some of them don't. That's what it seems like. And I think there's a third boat behind them, at least a third boat.
Okay.
For high water on the South Fork, do you think that's appropriate number of boats?
Yes.
Is two boats appropriate? Would the oar boat and the paddle boat be appropriate?
If it was two people that had been down it yesterday and the day before and they were familiar with it, I'd be nervous, but I think that's okay.
Would you run an Arda commercial trip with a paddle boat and an oar boat in the front with two guides who've been guiding, just two boats?
What's the flow? 6,000?
I think it's 6 or something. Let me look. Seems to have figured it out. Doesn't say. Let's just say Fowler's is almost covered up. So I think 6, it's
okay, no. I'd be nervous doing that. Okay. A two boat trip would. I wouldn't want to do that. Okay.
So, but three boat. Would you do one oar boat in the front and two paddle boats?
I would do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So they go down. Do you like the boat spacing? Is that pretty good boat spacing?
No.
You want it tighter?
Way tighter.
Okay. Half that distance?
Half that distance.
Okay. For what reason?
To add safety for the lead boat, but also just because there aren't a lot of places to slow down or stop in this next half mile, and I'd want to be closer. And I know where the disadvantage of being too close is you can't see in front of you, but I think that these lines are pretty predictable. You know where you want to go. You know where you want to be. Wow. That Hopefully. Happened fast.
Yeah. Yep. That happened. Okay. So boat flips. What's this boat number? What's the priorities for the paddle boat right now?
Not flip, catch up. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so your own safety first. Don't be a second flip.
Miss the hole. Above the good.
Rock. Yep.
I'd go left of the rock and catch him on the other side. This looks really good.
Okay, so here's the debate. Here's where we're stuck. What do you do now? What's your next course of action?
Okay, I see a blue boat and one swimmer. Do I see another swimmer way downstream?
Yep.
That's a head that's sticking up underneath YouTube Premium.
Yep.
Aim for the head at YouTube Premium.
Exactly. Exactly. Aaron and Cody were like, go for the for sure swimmer. I'm like, no, you take care of the downstream swimmer 100%.
That's what I think, especially if you have another boat behind you.
Yeah.
That can fill in behind you.
So I feel it looks like
maybe that's what this boat is signaling to the.
Well, you see the one person pointing. There's a swimmer right there.
And I'm wondering if he's pointing it out to the boat that's behind him.
Maybe.
Like, go for that person. We're going for this person. That's what I would. That's what my instincts would say. Even if I can't get to that lead swimmer, I'm going to get in front of the other swimmer.
Yeah, because the other swimmer will catch up with you.
Yes.
Like you're now at downstream safety for that one swimmer, but that swimmer that's ahead is now in a dangerous position because they can just go. They're gone.
They're gone.
What Cody and Aaron were saying, no, you take the one you can get for sure.
My instinct would be to go for the downstream one.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're on the same page because I thought, I was being crazy. So they don't. They go for the close one, which ends up being, right there. Even here, let's go back. So they end up by this one. Do you still go for that? What do you do?
At this point?
I
think at this point you get the swimmer because it's not really going to – I don't think it's going to slow you down that much. It'd be hard to pass that person up and say we're going for somebody else. I'd pull them in. But one thing that I have tried to train my paddle cruise or paddle combo cruise, right now you have very little control over this paddle boat because people have stopped paddling. They've moved away from their paddle positions. They're trying to rescue a swimmer. A lot of times more than one person will try to pull them in. That's a prep command, a prep training before you get there. Hey, if we pull somebody in, one of you is going to pull them in. Everybody else needs to keep paddling. Looks like they've lost a little bit of that control here.
Big time. I think commercially we do that. We're like, hey, you're gonna listen to me. I'm gonna train you my voice. This is sort of seems like a committee.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we're gonna save them. I'm glad a rope didn't come out because this is usually when a rope comes out to that person. But what happens is because of that, they almost look at this mess.
Ugh.
Which they get through.
Ugh. Now both of them are. Yep.
Now there's two people downstream. You see the oars right there?
Yeah.
The oars weren't tied in. And then swimmer in the lead.
Counterbalanced oars, you think?
That's probably what it is. I've never thought about that because the handle's sinking.
Right? That's not how oars usually float in the water. I think it's easy to sit here and second guess this. In that moment, a lot of times things happen fast. That run through that rapid, that was crappy. You don't want to – they probably didn't want that to happen. We've all been in that sort of where it doesn't go the way it should have. But in that decision-making process, now looking at it on video, I would think I would have gone for that down. I would have just been downstream and
see, like in my mind, the priority is, and what's interesting is after this discussion with Aaron and Cody last week, I was kind of annoyed. I'm like, no, they're wrong. Where am I going to find proof that they're wrong? There's no,
I'm not proof. I'm just another opinion, but this looks really scary. What's happening right now?
Yes, there's no Swiftwater rescue book that talks about swimmers and how to manage them from rafts. Like, there's not like, hey, here's a what's that called when like all the letters of the word make another word?
Acronym.
And there's no acronym for what happens when somebody swims. Like when you have victims, there's LAST, locate, access, stabilize, transport. There's no like, oh, swimmer, what do we do? I think, and it's not taught. Like, they're not teaching in rescue classes. So there's like a thing. But I think if I was to say what you do with swimmers is, number one, like, make sure your boat doesn't swim too.
Like, right.
Look out for your safety. It happens over and over and over. And two is provide downstream containment. Like, get ahead of that first swimmer.
I'm with you 100% on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, I'm thinking about this because I don't think people really teach how to manage these situations, but it made me think a lot about it. Like, I think that's the answer. Like, take care of your safety, downstream containment. So there's, do you see the swimmer in the trees? Lead swimmer is now in the trees.
Leave them. Is that what you said?
No, I said that. Do you see
a lead swimmer? Lead swimmer. I'm, yeah, at this point, you don't, I mean, you're not going in there.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure. And there's another video like this that we watched, almost same thing happened. A boat eddied out in the trees down there, like got stuck in some trees, and then somebody walked back up to help them, which is putting a raft in these trees is, imagine how many times this has happened this season already. It's almost the exact same thing. Like, how many groups have been through the same mess, Blue Fowlers?
Yeah, that's the nightmare, or one of our nightmares right there, right? That high water in the trees, no real good eddies and places to stay and, like, provide downstream safety that's somewhat nearby.
And now they have downstream containment because they're down – in my mind, I'm like, okay, we're downstream both swimmers. Like, hopefully the swimmers aren't pinned on trees, and we don't have a method for rescuing. At this point, like, we're out. If they're in the trees, that was their mistake. They shouldn't have gone there. But at least we're downstream of them. Now we just need to slow down until they catch us. Yep.
I think this would be another one of those moments when you might look back on it and go, like, I don't know what – if they're attempting to – if they're holding on to that raft, if they're trying to rescue the raft – but that eventually that raft, the flipped raft, is probably going to get in the way, right? It's limiting their mobility.
Yeah.
So at some point, you got to just say, hey, let's not worry about that right now. Let it go.
Yep.
We need to eddy out as quickly as possible where we can rescue swimmers.
And we need to be ready now. We can pull out. Yep.
We need all of our paddlers paddling.
I don't see the third boat, so maybe there wasn't one. They actually do a good job of flipping the boat over here. I mean, decent job. But I think we were part of a rescue a few weeks ago, and there was so much emphasis on the boat. And I was like, let the boat go. I don't care about the boat. Like, we have issues. Like, the boat is not an issue. We'll solve that later. Like, let's focus on the people. But I think we get drawn to the boat. Like, there's a, you know, the boats are expensive. You don't lose them. But I think we need to forget about boats sometimes.
I agree.
Okay. I just need to hear it because I'm like, after talking to Aaron and Cody, I think I'm crazy. And hopefully somebody's looking upstream, looking for the swimmer while they flip this boat back over. Look at that beautiful frame.
What kind of boat is that?
It's a wing. The valves are on the inside, so it's either an old one or they did something custom to a design. But somewhere along the way, it shows it's a wing. I think it's those 14-foot boats, the yellow ones we have. But both the oars came off because they weren't tied on. So now there's a spare paddle that they're going to use to maneuver the boat.
Are those oar locks that weren't tied on?
Let's see. It has oar locks for sure. Yeah. It's not pins and clips. Those are oar locks.
Okay. Yeah. Then they should have a leash on them, right? Like, that's pretty standard.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And that would make their life a lot easier. Might've made it harder to flip that boat back over, but it'd make their life a lot easier right now. And they would have a really, really good rescue boat.
Yeah. Right? Oh yeah. Once they get it flipped over.
Boom. Yeah, one person, assuming someone can row, gets in there and they've got two downstream boats. So maybe not, I don't want to change about letting go of the boat, but having that boat at that point, rescuing that boat.
I don't think there's a third boat. Yeah. I don't think so. There's no third boat coming. So there are two boats, it looks like. And yeah, I mean, that's a tough decision. Let the boat go. If there's just two boats or. Can one boat now? Can one boat save those two swimmers?
Probably. I think the way this one played out, I don't think you could question their decision to rescue the oar boat. Mm-hmm. I have seen people prioritize rescuing that oar boat, and it compromising their ability.
Yeah, the swimmers are gone.
Yeah,
like they're so busy focused on the boat, and then the swimmers pass them again, and then they're moving downstream, and it's all a mess still.
All right, let's take a little digression. Pause this.
Okay.
During the rowing schools I've been teaching for you, some of the questions are urethane boats, PVC boats, Hypalon boats. My dramatic claim is that if you have a Hypalon boat inflated properly and a urethane boat inflated properly, and you are blindfolded, as soon as you step on that boat, you can tell the difference between which it is.
Uh-huh.
Right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
That it's that distinct of a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that translates into all those other features, conditions about rowing a boat. Do you think a Hypalon boat would have... Are Hypalon boats harder to flip?
Yep.
Like that boat flipped really, really fast.
Yep.
And that's a condition, a factor of a stiffer Hypalon or urethane boat?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Like the urethane boats definitely flip more than a Hypalon boat will.
Okay. That's what I've been telling people. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't...
But a Hypalon boat's more likely to wrap.
Right, for sure. Boat. Yeah.
And a urethane boat, like... will perform better. Like when you have to go make that move, it'll drive better. Like it'll be more like a Ferrari, where a Hypalon boat's more like a truck.
Yeah.
Like it's going to make the move, but it'll like go over stuff. It can power through stuff where the Ferrari will get caught up. So like the Ferrari will make the move if you drive it correctly, but if you're off, it's less forgiving. Where the Hypalon's more forgiving for sure.
In waves, flipping situations, in wrapping situations, the Hypalon is less forgiving.
Hypalon's probably going to wrap way faster.
Yeah.
So there's some things I noticed that I just stopped here. That pump probably isn't tied. That pump, luckily that pump didn't come out.
Non-locking.
Steve, there's your favorite throw bag. That's the one. I mean, I'm okay with that one over the NRS one.
Okay.
That one's a classic. That one just it's oozes California. That's what we used to use in California.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, non-locking carabiner. So like I think there's some lack. These guys have a really nice wing boat with like a frame from the 70s.
Yeah.
And some improper things like not tying their pumping correctly, not tying the oars on, non-locking carabiner. That could have been a problem. So there's quite a bit of a mess.
Yeah, new boat, old habits.
Yeah. If you're a paid rescue and passive swimmer that you could have saved and he or she drowns, you'd be sued for sure. You might get sued, but you're doing a risk assessment. Who's most likely to die? Like, I need to prioritize that person. It's the person ahead of us. Like you're not gonna, if you're passing right by them, if you're going right by them, yeah, I can see, okay, pull them in really quick. But if you're like, man, a boat flipped, I need to boogie down ahead of everybody as fast as I can, get downstream of the first swimmer. I think like, yeah, if you don't, I mean, if you waste a bunch of time and a swimmer goes around the corner, you get sued as well. Right. It's just, what was the risk assessment you made?
And the risk assessment I would make is, which swimmer is it in greater danger? And to me, the downstream swimmer, especially with that amount of separation, in front of the boat, like being swept downstream in the main current, that person seemed to me like they were in way more danger than the person who was upstream of the flipped boat and potentially had someone coming down behind him. We don't know if that was true or not, but
yeah. I'll take 5 or 10 seconds away to pull in the swimmer if I can. But if it looks like I'm going, if it's anything longer than that, or it's going to take me somewhere, like it took me to a hole, I'm gone. I'm going to go down and take care of my boat first and go get that downstream swimmer. That person scares me. Yeah. I think it's a risk.
Person who's in the most danger in that situation, I thought, was the person downstream.
Yep.
Most risk.
I mean, the real issue here, though, to me with this is whether or not you go. And if it is just two boats, I think it's marginal. I think safety-wise, it's marginal. That's looked like 9 people in 2 boats. It's a lot of people spread between very few boats. Like, there's not enough boats surrounding them to provide safety, adequate safety, especially at those flows. Okay, that one's done. Okay, that one's done. Here's another good one.
Do you have any like camp scenes? Because these flips are sort of making me sick to my stomach.
Have you been to the Lock Saw before, Steve?
No, I've seen this. I've seen videos of this, whatever.
Wait, you just want to watch video of people hanging out in camp?
Crackling campfire. Yeah, SARS. You know, fun stuff.
On my other computer, I do have some of that, but I'm on a different computer today. I have like a time lapse from hanging out in camp.
No, I can handle this.
Okay, so this is, I mean, look at all the people on the shore. This
I know.
It's a huge thing. And if you go back and watch these guys' boats here, they're having fun. Look at this. That's just fun. And
good boat spacing.
Yeah, that's right? What it looks. That's what it's supposed to look like.
That's what it's supposed to look like.
And then if you watch that lead boat, I'm guessing as soon as they get through this big wave, they're going to look back.
I hope so. Right? Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but there went right. I think we just missed it. So this boat spacing is great, but there's a kayaker there. I mean, there's. I don't know why that's so much boat spacing, but like, I don't know why there's so much space. If they flip, it's gonna be a hard rescue. But there's a lot of people downstream. There's a huge downstream safety net, which is pretty cool to see. And this just looks fun. So they're just having fun. They're goofing off, and they get here. This is Locksaw Falls. Kind of the audience is amazing.
Have you run this?
No, I think I did this at low water once. I'm not sure if we went. I did a Locks at low water once. I'm not sure if we went through this or not. Just it was low, wave. So it would have. The wave that flips a lot of boats.
Wow, wow,
that's quick.
That's quick, and it looked like a good line, right? Like,
yeah. I think I would have pointed into it more. Let's go back. I think I want left angle. To tee up to that. I mean, this is just sitting here, but like, that's pretty good left angle. That'd be too much left angle.
That's what did it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably what did it. Yeah. Anyway, the guide has the GoPro on. I think it's the guide. Still has his paddle. It's super impressive. Goes to the end of the boat. Are you at end of the boat or side of the boat?
End of the boat.
Yeah. I don't know how people get in the ends on the sides, but. He kind of gets up on the side here. Gets on the boat. What would you do next? Would you pull the swimmers in or flip the boat?
I don't know what's downstream, but
not much. And there's boats.
Then I'd flip the boat.
Okay. Which I think is what he does.
Flip line.
Classic. Everybody let go. I like that he wrapped it around his hand. Do you know if you saw that?
Yeah, I think we teach people not to do that, but those little thin flip lines are pretty hard to grip sometimes.
Yeah, that's why I actually like a loop, but whatever. He gets over quick. 1-inch
webbing more and more.
Because those thin ones are so hard to grab. It's just the 1-inch webbing takes up so much space in your PFD. I think that's a downside.
Yep.
Gets back in the boat and then pulls a swimmer in. Again, this is a urethane boat, Sotar. So flips, you know, if that was an Avon back there, it probably wouldn't have flipped. I mean,
honestly. I don't know. Safety kayaker right there. I look pretty. Yeah.
Other boats coming down to help. I mean, it doesn't get.
You'd got to feel pretty good about that. 1 minute and 30 seconds?
Yeah. I mean, the guy, the everybody has their paddle, looks like the guy's now in the back of the boat, just being like, forward paddle, let's keep going.
They're all
That's pretty
facing
cool.
Directions. Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, those guys knew, like, they knew what they were doing. They knew what was coming. And
one more thing. See that person right here, this PFD, where it has that like mesh back and a really high flotation.
Yeah.
I think we need,
I'm not a fan of those.
I don't think we should let people wear those in whitewater. I think those exist so people can sit in kayaks with a chair behind them. But I'm starting to be like, don't wear those. Don't get those. And I just want to make a public service announcement that we shouldn't be buying those. Those aren't for whitewater. Right?
I agree. Right? Yeah.
Be too harsh. The flotation's too high. It's just, it's not smart. I think they flip again here somewhere.
Really? They were running this on purpose.
Yeah. Now that they know that they can flip. Like, we know what to do. We did a minute 30. Let's see if we do it a minute 25.
Beat the record.
Wait. What happens here? Looks like there's a swimmer here. I don't know. I like this video because it had people looking out for each other, pulling swimmers in, the quick reflip. That's how it's done.
Pull them in. Don't leave them hanging.
Let me see if I can find that flip. Maybe there's not a second flip. I think that red boat is the Oregon rafting team. Yep, pretty sure that's the Oregon rafting team. They don't flip very often. Guess that's it. Okay, and then
in the snow.
We get to one more here. And let's do comments real fast. I found fellow rafters and kayakers may not give accurate assessment skill level. Reasonable questions pre-trip want to ask as a trip leader to determine skill level ability. I know the red flags. When people call me, hey, I had somebody call me wanting to row on one of our rogue trips. And, I've done 100 trips down the rogue. I've heard that a million times. But I ask them what kind of boat they have. And they're like, oh, Moravia, blah, blah, blah. What kind of oars do you use? Oh, I have blah, blah, blah. Once you start hearing them speak the language, you're like, okay, they know what's going on. But there's cues where they're like, yeah, or if they're paddleboarding, they go, I oar my way down. I'm big into oaring. There's just, if they use the wrong terms, that's a red giveaway.
Flag, for sure.
And I'm always like, it's the big thing is, when's the last time you went boating? And not like I get this a lot. They're going to come with me in June and it's December. And like, do you boat a lot? No, I do, but I'm going to go a lot between now and then. That's a red flag. Like that, I don't want to hear what you're going to do over the next few months. Like, where have you been lately? Because they always show up and they're like, oh yeah, I didn't actually get a practice. I don't know, Heidi. Like, it's just people lie. So figuring that out is going to take time.
I think you can also ask for a reference. Right? Like, who have you boated with? Mm-hmm. Maybe someone else can give a more accurate assessment of someone's skill level. And maybe, Heidi, if you're asking that question, it's the red flag to begin with. Like, maybe you could not just say no. Right? I mean, if you're unsure, that's the way better to say no than take the chance if that's an option.
And I think you go once. I mean, I realize when I'm boating people I don't know, I might be essentially solo boating. Like, I might just have nobody, they might all be liabilities, nobody saving me. So the first time I boat with people, I'm not going to do something at my skill level. I'm just going to do something easy, where I'm comfortable, and get to know them. And if they're, and something where where I'm probably not going to have a problem and need to be saved. I'm not going to go somewhere where I'm maybe going to need to be saved with people I don't know. And so you basically learned, okay, I'm not going to go with them again. And yeah, that's a tough one though. Locksaw should be in everybody's bucket list. My favorite day trip. Man, it's so far away. It's like people drive from Hood. I mean, we live in Hood River. We have great boating in May. And people drive 9 hours to go to the Locksaw. I'm like, guys, it's amazing here right now. Why would you drive more than an hour? And people still go. So I get it. Steve, what's your favorite day trip?
Tuolumne.
Yeah. It can't beat the Tuolumne. Tuolumne 2500?
You can't beat it.
Yeah.
No. On a warm, sunny day?
Mm-hmm. Like it's going to be this August?
Yeah, 2500 in August. Yeah, 90 degrees. Yeah, that's that's an awesome day trip.
I mean, I want to do a 3-day trip at 2500 this August. My first year on the tee, we did a 3-day trip at 6,000. Okay, so I should have asked a question that I like to ask before we started. Let's go back. How's the boat spacing?
Not ideal.
Yeah. It's not terrible, but
no. But this is that's very common, that boat spacing right there. But as they find out, it's pretty much ineffective, right?
Yeah, so far. And so that person is helping with their own rescue. At least they're doing something. Like
trying.
A lot of times people just feed up. This person was at least making an attempt. But they're going to swim this. I think it's going to be hard to catch up with it. Oh, that person went deep. There you go. Now it's the responsibility of these people downstream to get them. So this isn't the worst thing. And they saw, oh, there I go. They pull them by the top of their PFD. There we go. I'm guessing this is a guest on the trip pulling them in because that's a guide would just yank them in already.
I mean, we've all seen that happen. We've all had that happen to us. Whatever. You wish that boat, the downstream boat, had been closer, but I don't even know if they wouldn't have been able to slow down enough to catch up with that swimmer. But what it really indicates is how fast those swimmers can get away from you downstream. Right? Like mm-hmm. That paddle boat was paddling downstream as fast as they could, and that swimmer was moving away from them for a long time. It's hard to rescue swimmers downstream.
And I think I just don't think there's enough. I mentioned this earlier. I don't think there's enough training on rescuing swimmers. There's not enough talk about it. There's not enough practice. And then the first time you see it, like you don't realize how, like, oh man, they're gone. Versus if you've seen it a bunch, you're like, oh, we got to go. Like we don't have time.
Yeah.
Or if you've been that boat in the front and you weren't looking back a bunch, and you know that swimmer went half a mile before you're like, oh man, there's a swimmer behind me. Or maybe a swimmer catches up with you, then the boat behind you didn't whistle or whatever. Like it's hard to practice though, because people don't want to fall out of the boat.
Right.
It's hard to get people to swim.
No, and it's hard to anticipate how fast they move, how fast the swimmer moves. I mean,
so right here, they fall out.
Looks like it's a woman. She's pretty close right there. Like, right? That's 10 feet?
Almost feet? Has it. Almost has it.
Still almost has it. Swimming
and
back.
She's swimming upstream, but she's gone.
Now it's
not gone, but like, yeah. I think at this boat point, that boat downstream sees her. Or maybe that photographer on the shore was like, hey, you guys might want to pay attention to that swimmer.
The photographer thing is weird, isn't it? You wish the photographer had a throwback.
I mean, the photographer is capturing photos of this person swimming. But what's also a thing is they have this PFD. I think that's a 24, 25-pound float PFD.
Yeah.
Their head is above water here, but, I mean, they're underwater for a while right here. Imagine like a low float PFD. a hard guy would be. Swimming Sunshine Rapid or High Water. Which, I think there's more than one Sunshine Rapid. Depends which one. But, yeah. This is a good year where high flow PFDs. So, Steve, that's all the videos I have. The very beginning, I want to show you the one from the beginning. The people who weren't here at the very beginning. Oh, that, I get it. That's Sunshine. Okay. It doesn't look that hard. But, of course, from the GoPro, nothing does. Didn't look.
But if you go back to the very beginning, like where that swimmer falls in, it doesn't look like that's.
This does not look like a hard rapid to me.
And it looks like you wanted to be left of that hit right there. I don't know.
Anywhere, basically almost anywhere but where they went.
Yeah, but you know, you got it's a commercial trip. This isn't easy.
Like you can go right or left of this, but you can't go into that. Like right of it.
That's what it looks like to me. You could be one boat width to the left.
Yeah, you just can't go there. And yeah. I also probably would have just been like, you could have also done a get down command, although it might have done that. Get down. Boom.
Stay in the boat. Yeah.
Okay, I want to show you the video I watched at the beginning but when I was by myself. It's really lonely by myself doing this.
Sorry, I was.
No, it's fine. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying.
Have
you seen this?
No.
Okay, so this is
kind of boats.
A dragon boat going up Aloha Dam.
Yeah. Come on, baby.
So if anybody saw the beginning of the show, we're done. I'm just showing Steve this again. If he came in part way, you can watch. What do you think happens here? Just guess.
Oh no, really? It turns sideways in that thing? Oh no.
I laugh because people die here, Steve.
What?
But if people die here.
Oh shit.
I shouldn't
laugh. What are they doing? Why would they be doing this?
I don't think they know.
Oh.
17 dead. Just so you know, and that's the story. It's pretty eye-opening. Like when you see one person in the Aloha Dam, you're like, oh, that sucks. But when you see this many person, like, wow, it really does keep you. Like all those heads.
Wow. The lucky ones are getting flushed downstream.
But it gets worse.
Here comes another boat. Well, does the same thing happen?
Yes. It's so bad. And this is like people run low head. I mean, if you look at the AW accident database in the US, people die in low head dams a lot. And so this is hopefully terrifying enough. Even this one looks ambiguous enough that they could dragon boat up it. Do you think they're wearing PFDs?
Doesn't look like it.
It doesn't, but their heads are above water surprisingly well.
It almost looks like they're standing up.
Oh, they're standing up on the bottom of the river?
On whatever, yeah, the dam kind of thing. It looks, I mean, oh my God.
Now watch this. Now, can people dive off it and make it? Like that guy right there. He just takes momentum and just dives off.
Starts swimming downstream. He knows.
Yeah.
He's figured out what's going to happen. Wow.
I don't know. I came across this video. And so and even this guy here, he's fighting. And he's still kind of he's not past the boil line.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to get out of there.
Oh, yeah.
This happened on the Klickitat River. There's a low head dam where we launched some of our rowing schools. We put them right below it. A canoe went, I think it was a canoe. A boat went through there. Two boats, I think. And seems like a man and a woman, and the woman died. She flushed for a while and then went downstream. And they put in right above it. Like, I think they launched. We launched right below it.
Oh, they just went to the wrong place kind of thing?
They launched right above it.
Wow. That is a I mean, whatever. That's the classic trap, right? Like, if you wanted to build something to hold boats and swimmers and people, oh no.
I don't think they go into. I'm pretty sure
they have a motor, maybe, right?
When I saw this too, I was like, oh no. Not a bad place to be either on this little island waiting to get rescued.
Oh my God. Well, those people are never going to go in a dragon boat again.
Nope. All right. Well,
that's horrible. Steve, thank you.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good reminder how dangerous those are. Sometimes you're like, come on, guys. It doesn't look that bad. It's a pain to portage. Let's just go over it. And I got my rule for like a long time has been just don't do it. Just don't guess what it's going to do. Just don't go. Just do the portage. Yeah, there's an attitude though. You get there, you're like, it's low water, it's high water. I see a line over there. I got this. But it is. It's bad if you mess it up. Steve,
And I also am in strong agreement with the swimmer rescue concept being high priority, but maybe not stressed as much and taught as much as it should be. Like, to me, that's just and I see it all the time when I'm doing guide schools and whatnot. It's like, people don't react as quickly as I want them to. Like, to me, that is all hands on deck. Get to the swimmer as quickly as possible. I don't care if it's, you know, if you're at the bottom of a rapid and there's not another rapid for a mile, get to the swimmer as quickly as possible.
And go to them.
Go to them.
Don't throw a rope.
Yeah.
Don't swim in, whatever it is. Boat.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking about the rescue classes we've been teaching. We've been doing the third day on water. And like a regular swiftwater rescue class that people take, they go to the river, but they don't float down a section of river. So there's no way to practice that. And I've been thinking about this, like, why don't they do that? Why isn't that a part of rescue classes? And one of them is a lot of the rescue companies don't have permits to float. They technically don't have permits to go to the river either. They technically are sort of.
Right. They're using somebody's campground and
Yeah, but they definitely don't. The rescue organization isn't a lot of times permitted to float a river, and it's also really hard. We were doing it, and so you know, one person could teach 12 people rescue theoretically. We were doing two instructors for 8 people, but one person could teach 12 people knots and throw bags and all the stuff, right?
Not if you're going to simulate a swimmer, though, right?
Not if you're going down river, because you have to. You're taking people you don't know their skill level down a river, which you have to just getting people like 12 people down a river safely is a lot of work for one person, just not responsible. And so you almost at that point, like when we had 8 people, even having 2 of us as guide instructors managing 8 people was tough. And so providing safety you need for people you don't know is really hard. So it's just logistically really hard for a rescue class to teach swimmer rescue adequately. So I'm trying to figure out how to do that better.
The guide schools I taught for ARTA, we had a Wilson volleyball, you know, a little from Castaway. And, you know, periodically just throw that in the river and like, go get it. And it's remarkably difficult. And the volleyball doesn't go as fast as a swimmer does.
Well, we have, so for our class 4 schools and our rescue classes, we have Scuba Steve and Scuba Sally.
Yeah, I've seen.
You heard about them?
They're heavy.
Yeah, because you were here then. They're pretty legit, right? And not only do they go like a swimmer goes, but you also like getting in the boat is realistic.
It's really hard, yeah.
It's not just like grab a thing. We also have Sanchez and Kool-Aid Man, which are just big inflatable balls.
Okay.
And so like we'll have the swimmers, and then if it's too easy, we'll throw a Sanchez in to like divert attention. And so there's like the easy ones, like the easy balls, or I'll throw a ball in to like dry, like make people think about that swimmer. Like, oh, by the way, there's a pin swimmer over here. Like try to prioritize.
Yeah.
It's really
good scenarios to practice. Those are good things to have.
They're good to practice, but they're really hard to execute those scenarios because you have to have a scuba Steve and a scuba Sally.
Right. Yeah.
You have to have a section of river to do it on. You have to go downstream. You have to have a scenario like a lot of rescue scenarios in classes. It's just, hey, let's go to the riverbank and pretend like somebody's hurt or somebody's stuck on a rock and save them. Like the static scenarios, but how do we do the dynamic ones where we're moving downstream?
Swiftwater rescue doesn't teach swimmer rescue.
Yeah.
Other than throw bagging a swimmer, which is a last resort. And in my experience, 1%, less than 1% of the swimmers I've rescued have used throw bag. Like it's 99% of the time when I'm rafting, I'm rescuing the swimmer with the raft, chasing them down, getting in front of them, paddling to them, or they'll swim to shore. But yeah, swiftwater rescue classes don't emphasize that.
I was talking to another the other day, and he was saying, I think he said, I've never thrown a throw bag to a swimmer. I'm like, that's a good point. And he goes, if I see one more picture of a rescue class teaching shallow water rescue, I'm going to go insane. Because it's just not a technique we are using. Like we're like, if it's shallow water, like you get a boat there, but like, why are river people learning shallow water rescue? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody out there can explain to me, and I'm totally wrong here. But the things that we've been talking about are like shallow water rescue seems kind of like a waste of time to me. Tying people onto a rope on their PFD and throwing them in the water, the whole rescue tether thing. Not a technique that's used, is way less than a throw bag, and they spend a lot of time on it. In my opinion, teaching people to swim over a log, like in doing the thing where there's a log in the water and you do it, I can just tell you it's hard. You don't have to go do it. I can just say, hey, it's hard to swim over a log. Don't do it. But also, what I hear in safety talks is guides telling guests, if you're going to go to a log, swim over it. And they need to be telling guests, if there's a log, get away from it. Go back in the middle of the river. And so they're telling people based on their rescue training to teach their – they're not telling right. – but they're hearing like, oh, log, swim over it. No, log means avoid it. Let's not even practice swimming over it. Let's just like put the log in the river and then swim away from it. I think that would be like the better thing. That's another thing that like has been on my thing. And then night scenarios. Why are we teaching night scenarios in rescue?
Night?
Yeah, like a big part of rescue classes now is night scenarios where you have like headlamps and you have light sticks and you can put light sticks in your throw bag and throw it. As a guide, we're at camp at night. Like, I guess there's a chance.
No, there are far more important things, far more common things to prioritize. You're developing a class 3 rescue course.
Yeah.
You've done one or two or three of them?
Two of them. Than two of them.
So you're customizing that curriculum to prioritize river rafting related incidents. And you're not doing night scenarios.
It's funny you laugh about it because
you I've shouldn't had to be.
To your instructor, like, oh,
it
can no,
be sort of fun and exciting and mysterious.
Yeah,
but it's
but
not.
The instructors are like, no, but what if? I'm like, I get it, but like, we should be rescuing swimmers in the river with our rafts, which isn't happening, instead of these other things that are being taught.
I agree. Right? 100%. I agree 100%. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's so nice that Aaron's not here because you're agreeing. If Aaron was here, I feel like he would sway you. I feel like he'd be like, no.
Come on, Aaron. Where is Aaron? Nice. You cut him for loose.
Oh, man. I Aaron's wish I could kill him sometimes. No, he is in Idaho where he doesn't have good internet.
Oh.
So he's going to Zoe soon, though. Okay, let's get to the comments and get out of here. And tell your friends you're going to throw them pedophiles. Huh. I'm not sure if I'm going to I feel about that comment. But let's watch it. Let's look at your next comment. And striking diversion dam into waves or water parks. Okay. Steve, thanks for joining. Before we stop, do you have a Steve's mental angle?
Oh my God, no, I don't.
Can you think of one, a really quick one?
Well, Heidi was asking. Okay,
hold on. So before we do it, I need to do.
It's time for the mental angle featuring Steve Welch. In this segment, Steve helps us approach the mental game of guiding, trip leading, and running whitewater. Let's all give Steve a big welcome.
I spent money on that, so I need to use it once in a while.
We're going to go back to Heidi's question about what questions to ask kayakers ahead of time to sort of vet them. And I think you can come up with a list. How often, how long have you been boating? When was the last time you went boating? How frequently do you boat? Well, I would ask what kind of a boat and life jacket they have. I think those can be indicators. No?
I mean, okay, if somebody is like, hey, Zach, I want to go boating with you. I'm not going to go, what kind of life jacket do you have? I mean, I get what you're saying, but like, I've had people, I meet at a meeting or something and like, hey, let's go boating. I'm like, I'm not going to be like, hey, what kind of life jacket do you have? That's
okay. All right, what kind of boat do you have?
I might not ask them that as a official, can you go with me question, but I might start a conversation where that comes out. You know what I mean? I'm not going to, because it's kind of weird to be like, I might boat with you. What kind of boat do you have? You know, like I might try to like,
later on, make it sound quite so ominous. I'm remembering the questions we would ask ARTA guests who wanted to kayak along.
Yeah. On a trip. I ask those questions. Those questions I ask when people call, like, yeah. Well, what I do say is, hey, I need you to provide your own PFD paddle and helmet. You have those things. You own those things.
You own those things.
Because if they don't, that's a red flag.
Would a spare paddle be a good indicator as to like how serious they are?
It
do
would.
Do you carry a spare paddle when you go kayaking?
Yeah. But if I'm private boating and going out with people, like if I'm going to go boating with somebody, like how do you want with kayak, like these kayakers, at that point, they're peers. They're not like I'm an outfitter and then it's somebody I'm not responsible for. It's hard to be like, hey, let's go off my checklist. You know, like I get to ask a couple questions and that's about it. Oh, where are you from? Do you boat much? Have you done the run? It's hard to start being like,
run.
Yeah, it's hard to be like, do you have a spare paddle? Do you have a first aid kit? Like, I mean, it's probably smart to do, but you can only ask so many questions before I think people get, before you come off as like,
sure. Yeah. You alienate.
Although it's probably smart to come off that way.
And then I think, I guess if there's still doubt, who can I talk, like, who do you regularly boat with?
Yeah. Well, if I met somebody at a meeting and they, so let me tell you. So if I met somebody at a meeting and they said, let's go run the Clackamas, I'm like, oh, sweet. Yeah. Have you done it before? Oh, cool. You haven't? We should just make sure we have one or two more boats. I don't want to go just that one person. Like I'd be like, oh, you haven't, but I'd be like, what have you run before? The Malala, cool, similar. Let's just make sure there's one or two more boats. Just because I don't want to be the only person responsible for that person's safety. If it's the Wind River, I'm gonna be like, talk to somebody else.
Call me later.
I don't want to be the primary
support person.
Yes, for anybody in the Wind. I don't want to talk anybody into it.
We know that about you, Zach.
Now, if somebody else is the primary,
one of your lovable qualities.
I have done it.
I know. You're reluctant to do it, and I share your reluctance. I don't want to be that person either. Nobody wants to be that person.
If they make an agreement, like, hey, I'll be the primary person. I trust you. We're going to go. I will then go. But I don't want to be the person who's like, oh, yeah, no, I got you. Like without knowing them really well, without knowing, like having boated with them. I'll go be support and even give them lines. But I want them to make their own decision with me not being a part of that decision.
I took it more from Heidi's perspective of, hey, we're putting together a private rogue trip and people want to join us. Or we're looking for more people to join us. And three kayakers have come and they all exaggerate. They all say they can do it. And I've had some experiences where that didn't turn out to be true.
This is Heidi's original comment. I've started doing kayak support trips. I didn't understand. She's a rafter supporting kayaks. Two swimmers. It's not bad for kayakers. I don't know. It's not fun though. It's a lot of work. They like it's as a rafter, work. As a rafter, like saving the kayaker, getting their boat, emptying the boat out, getting them back in the boat. And my comment was, it's like the like Heidi, like there's assets and liabilities. In this case, Heidi was an asset, and there's some liabilities along. And you want to figure out if the people are going with their assets or liabilities.
All of that screening and pre-trip stuff. Yes, I agree with it. Words of wisdom for the actual rescue, to me, comes down to Eddie's selection. Right? Like, figure out the best Eddie to put yourself in. And it's, in my mind, going to be pretty far downstream. Like, I'm not catching the Eddie in the middle of the rapid to perform a mid-rapid rescue of a kayaker. I'm getting to the bottom, and I'm just keeping this thing from getting way out of hand. That'd be my word of wisdom as far as if I was rowing a cataract for as a rescue boat for kayakers. I'm downstream containment and safety eddies way downstream.
This is Cody, who just got back from the subway. Cody, I just sent you an invite if you want to tag in, join us for a sec. You don't have, I know you may be busy, but I just sent you an email to join if you want to join for a sec to talk. I think, but does Heidi want to be that person? Like, she wants some kayakers, and does she want to be the rescue person? Did she sign up for that?
Sounded like it.
Yeah, I think she's maybe didn't want to, like, I don't know, she wants people to go boating with, but does she want to be like
all of a sudden they're asking her to be safety?
They didn't ask her, but they show up, and next thing you know, they're like, "Oh, we're falling apart." Like, she just wants to go boating with friends and not like people who are swimming the whole time that are can make things bad. I don't think there's a perfect set of questions. We hit the vetting hard on a recent subway trip and still had someone over their head. Yeah, so he just did a subway trip, just got off, and we talked about this before the trip. Like, he didn't know anybody. He's the troop leader. I think he knew one person.
Wow.
And they were worried it was going to be high. I think it ended up being at 3.5 feet, but for it was a June 7th subway. So for the months coming up, it was maybe going to be pretty high water. Oh, Cody's in his car. Are you driving back?
No, my wife is actually driving. We're heading to Le Grand
okay.
for the weekend.
So had someone over their head.
Yeah. So, and like, it was a friend of a friend that was on the trip, and you could tell, like, just at the put in, the gear that they had, it was like, oh no, like, you know, like the oar locks didn't fit the oars, and just recently, like, changed their dry box setup, and so like, they end up swimming day one. Really struggled in the class fours to the point where like they were actually thinking about flying out at Moose Creek.
Wow.
Yeah. So like they definitely didn't have a fun trip.
What were the questions?
It took away from your fun too, right?
I mean, I think they did a good job of like trying to manage themselves and being a good teammate. But yeah, it definitely added a little bit of stress.
Yeah. Yeah. What questions would you have asked if you could turn back the clock?
Oh, we're losing them. Yeah. I'm going to take them off. Cody, we're losing you. Sorry. But we'll get you back on, Cody. I want to hear more about the subway trip.
Yeah.
Maybe next Friday. I want to go back a couple things. A list of Zach and her suggestions were gold and didn't work on. Yeah. The ones that Zach did were gold and the ones that Aaron did didn't work. That's the answer,
yeah,
right? Andrew?
Right, yeah. Respectively.
Yeah. Zach, we want to see gold, this list too.
Aaron didn't work.
I mean, Aaron's been having some really weird ideas lately. He's been, I don't want to get into it right now. Trying to figure out Heidi just wants to go boating, not like be a rescue squirrel all day.
Yeah.
So I get that. Well, Steve, let's close this one up. I'm asking this question every time. I think Cody is back. Let me see if I can put it back on. Cody, if people want education, where should they go?
They obviously should go to Private Whitewater YouTube channel. because it's the best on the on the internet. But Mountain Bus. Mountain Bus has the best education on the internet.
So you say Mountain Bus number one.
Yep. You and Private Whitewater
YouTube channel.
Yep.
And then our class dude, we'll say our class dude rowing schools are number three.
Oh yeah. Killer on the Rogue.
Yep. Yep. All right. Well, thanks everybody for watching. Cody, good to see you. Steve, thanks for being here. And we'll see y'all next week.